We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back. Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak with you here on Sports Talk, filling in here on a summer afternoon, and we're so happy Mr. Graffinini joins us from Las Vegas, Nevada. How are you doing, Todd?
Mr. Haas, I'm great, but I am not in Vegas. I was going to ask.
I thought maybe you would have stayed on the home front. But you are paying attention, I assume.
We got back from Ireland about a week and a half ago, and of course, as both of you well know, Saints training camp starts in less than 2 weeks, which of course I will be covering on a daily basis both here and in California. So going out to Vegas, that would have been a little bit too much. Don't know if the wife would have really agreed with that one very much. So, yes, I am here. But, yes, did watch the game. Obviously, it's in its entirety yesterday, and I'll be watching the next three as well.
Yeah, no, Todd, I always say, you know, it's exciting to go out to camp, but the real excitement is we get to hang out with Todd. He comes over from the Pelicans building, and he says all this stuff about kickers. You always keep great notes on the kicking competition. I always appreciate that about you.
No, it's, you know, we're one of the, you know, we're some of the chosen few, you two and myself and others who cover the team that literally are at every single practice. I mean, I had perfect attendance last year, so of course, we were in Irvine for 29 days, and and I'll have perfect attendance again this year. So, yep, but it's almost here, and that's hard to believe.
I know. July 22nd is the introductory press conference, and then practice with the Shells on the 23rd. But I can't remember when it was last year. It had to be somewhere during the preseason when you were like, you flip at some point. You go, all right. I'm ready for basketball. When are we going to camp? Because I think Nashville, wherever it was, you're like, okay, let's go. I'm ready.
I know exactly when it was. I'll tell you when I flipped. We found out that the 49ers weren't coming in for joint practices. That was the day it turned. That was the day it turned.
Todd went to that. Fully. That's it. Pelicans. Move on. Let's go. So Jeff, when we were talking earlier in the show, he said it's hard to put an adjective to it, but how would you describe what has been short but aggressive Joe Dumars' stint?
I think that's the perfect adjective. I think it's aggressive, Mike. Look, you know, obviously the injury situation last year was not ideal whatsoever. I mean, you know, you didn't know it at the time, but you had an idea. But pretty much 3 weeks into the season a year ago, it was over. I mean, you had 4/5 of our starting lineup were out. And, you know, you had guys that were supposed to be in Birmingham playing 30, 35 minutes a night because they had to. We were just completely undermanned most of the season and really never recovered. And yes, you know, they're never going to say injuries were an excuse, but it was a huge reason why the Pels only won 21 games last year. But the thing about it is that you can't take a team that won 21 games for whatever reason it was and run it back. I mean, changes had to be made. And we did see changes in the front office. And obviously, since Joe Dumars has taken over along with Troy Weaver, there have been changes in the roster. And look, just talking with some of my, you know, fellow compadres who work for the team and cover the team, it's really exciting for us because look, this is going to be my 7th year with the organization as the play-by-play man. And look, there have been trades and changes to the roster here and there, but for the most part, it's been pretty consistent. And, you know, this is really the first time in my tenure that the roster is almost completely flipped. So in that instance, it's exciting for me to see how it's all going to shake out. And, you know, I hate to go back to it, but it's really going to be all about health again, because there's talent on this roster as it's presently constructed going into training camp, which is going to start in late September. So we'll see how it shakes out. But I mean, Joe Dumars had a plan, and he is executing that plan, and you're seeing it, and you're still seeing it yesterday with the extension of her.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Herb Jones.
Yeah, you know, I do want to ask you about Herb Jones a little bit, but just to, you know, you mentioned all the players. Like last year, there are names that are in my brain that I will never hear from again, like a Trey Jemison and stuff like that. But then yesterday I was watching the Summer League game, and Jamal Cain made a basket, yep. And I was like, wait, Pelicans legend Jamal Cain is on the Timberwolves Summer League roster? Man, it was such a wild season in that front. But I want to ask you about the rookies, specifically Jeremiah Fears, because – you know, one of the things you can gain from Summer League is kind of get a very quick assessment of who looks ready and who looks like they have some work to do. Like, who looks confident, who looks under control. Yes, he had a few too many turnovers. I think he was trying to get a little aggressive at points, but I just thought Jeremiah Fears looked like an NBA-ready player, and it really stood out when you put him on the court with, you know, a handful of NBA players and, you know, but a majority of, you know, G League guys.
No, look, and here's the thing about Fears. He should be going into his freshman year of college. He actually went to Oklahoma a year where he would have been a senior in high school. So he's 18 years old. And for him to go out there, look, Summer League is it's a tough watch at times. Just because of the way, I mean, to me, yesterday was maddening because the game was officiated just, you know, we had 30 fouls called on us yesterday, 30 in 40 minutes. So, I mean, how much of a flow can you get into when the whistle is blowing that much? But like you said about Fears, I mean, you can just tell that he knows what he's doing. And he got sped up a couple of times. And this is the thing, too, guys. Yesterday, when you watch that team play, you've got basically four guys on the Summer League roster that have any type of NBA experience. And Lester Quinones has the most experience. He's been in the league 3 years. Ede Meese played a bunch yesterday. Of course, he had a really solid rookie year, all rookie second team. But for the most part, you got guys who have never played in any type of NBA game before. And you know that they want to prove to their coaches and the front office and their teammates that they can play. So it's very easy to get sped up. And we saw that with Fears a little bit. We saw that a lot with Derek Queen in the first half before he settled down and played really well in the second half. But you can tell that Fears knows how to run an offense. And look, he got bumped, he got physicaled a lot, and that's something that he's going to have to deal with on a day-in and day-out basis, because the players on the other teams, too, they're going a mile a minute because they're trying to impress everybody from their side. So it's a lot of guard-driven play in the Summer League. You see a lot of hard drives to the basket. You see a lot of out-of-control drives, passes. I mean, you saw passes yesterday from both sides that, you know, they're throwing it to someone who's not there just because they haven't played with each other. They had five practices before they took off to Vegas. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're playing. You're going full speed, 40 minutes. But Fears, again, and this is what you're going to notice, guys, the rest of this Summer League, the last three games where they play, they're going to get better every game because they're going to get used to the speed. They're going to get used to the physicality. And then as that all settles down, then you're going to see these guys really start to perform the way that they're capable of. But no, look, Fears would probably tell you that, you know, personally, he didn't have that great of a game. I thought he was solid, and he's only going to get better.
So the club's been pretty, you know, consistent, making Zion clearly the face of you know, the draft and the lottery. Yet, you know, it's they're playing the Lakers on Saturday, tomorrow. And so maybe it's just clickbait, but you Google Zion and automatically Lakers, Zion, trade. I mean, it's going to be news until it's not news anymore, which will be, you know, when the period ends. But in every fiber of your being, he's on this team this year.
I don't even know what the word would be. I could not see him not in a Pelicans uniform. I mean, he is one of those players that if you're going to win, if you're going to win consistently, that you have to have. You have to have. We saw what he is. I mean, we've seen what he's capable of doing in his career, even though the most games he's played has been 70. But to watch him a year ago at the end of the season, when he was in the best shape of his NBA career, completely dominate games. And, you know, again, the Pels weren't winning many games, but the reason that they did win games down the stretch was because of Zion Williamson. I mean, we went into Phoenix, beat them. Zion had his first career triple-double. Went into Minnesota, who, again, was playing for everything at the end of last year while the Pelicans were trying to get to 20 wins, went into the Target Center and won that game, and Zion was the best player on the floor, and Anthony Edwards played the entire game. So that's what he is capable of doing, and it's a broken record. If he can stay healthy, it's, you know, but this offseason is so big for him. If he can come in to training camp, guys, in the shape that he was when the season ended last year, it is going to be something that you're going to have to watch every single night, because he was doing things at the end of last year that we had not seen him do in his Pelicans career in a good way.
Yeah, you know, it's a kind of a broken record talking about health, but, you know, the other guy is Herb Jones, right? I played 20 games last year. Clearly, yeah. The team felt confident committing to him. I was kind of surprised in the sense that, you know, he's got 2 years left in his deal. You'd think, oh, maybe they want to see him come back, prove he can be healthy, and then sign him to an extension. They didn't. They inked him to a three-year, I think it was $68 million extension, maybe 86. Yeah. I might have flipped those 68. Numbers around, 68. You know, what are your thoughts on that? You know, I think it's I love it because I don't have any question in my mind that Herb is the type of guy you want on your team. You know, bad luck injuries aside, like, he shot 41% from three in 2 years ago. Obviously, we didn't get to see enough from him this past year. I just think any NBA team in the modern NBA needs a 3-and-D wing exactly like that. I'm just curious where you land on that extension.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. And look, you know, the Pels were a top 10 defense three prior years. Herb Jones going down in the fourth game of the season last year did not help matters defensively for the Pelicans whatsoever. This is a first-team, all-NBA defensive player. And if you look at the numbers on the deal, you know, in today's NBA, that's a bargain for the type of player that you're getting. I mean, Devin Booker just signed for $70 million a year a couple days ago, which just I can't – look, Devin Booker, don't get me wrong is an unbelievable basketball player. No fan base knows better what Devin Booker can do in a very short amount of time on the floor than Pelicans fans. But $70 million, I mean, but that's the way it's going in today's day and age in this league. But Herb Jones, he's just such a complete player. It's defense first, but he has shown offensively in the last couple of years that he's able, like you said, Jeff, to go out, shoot the three at a 40% clip. As a matter of fact, my favorite stat in the NBA is 50-40-90, 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 90% from the free throw line, which has happened 11 times in the history of the league. It's very, very rare. And Herb Jones 2 years ago was 5 percentage points from the free throw line from being a 50-40-90 player. And throw on top of that, he's first team all defense. So yes, ecstatic that he is going to be a part of this franchise for the next 5 years. And of course, that's a guy that you build around and you feel that is your core, like Zion, like Trey Murphy and Herb Jones. So that's just a really, really good thing that the Pels were able to get him back.
Well, we look forward to listening to you and John and Aaron and seeing you in Irvine and seeing you in Metairie next week. It's the calm before the storm, and so we do appreciate you taking some time to talk to us and get us, because there's so much change for both teams.
Yes.
For both teams.
No doubt.
So much change.
I look forward to seeing you in the bucket hat, Mike. That's what I'm really looking forward to seeing.
If the sun touches a piece of my skin in California, it'll be a freak accident. Let's put it that way. All right, my friend. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Jets.
Thanks, Todd.
Todd Graffini, play-by-play for the Pelicans.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.